JW Mobile.
JW N0TR Mobile, runway 22.
From the airport, GSP.
Roger. Just made a small mistake. It's actually runway 4 on this end, down here on 14, I guess it is, Dave. What'd you say, Buncombe Release or 14? I don't know. It's down to the end of the runway on GSP. And I wouldn't want to be flying that crosswind today.
Rough. Because it's bursting from different directions. You might think you got it made. Next thing you know, whoo.
Now, let me shut this other radio down, Dave. Yeah, I know I wouldn't want to be up there in it. I've landed in some pretty rough winds and use a lot of rudder. Oh, man. Well, I guess that's why I wasn't the pilot, Dave.
Spooky moments on airplanes, but not many, and not real bad. Nothing that you would think it's time to say your prayers, nothing like that. Overall, they do a pretty good job.
I landed in a Sirius down here at the airport that they train in at GSP, and we had gusting winds that day. And boy, that old boy, I'm not used to these little planes anymore. And he really did some moving around with that rudder as we come in just to keep that little feller straight. And those aren't cheap airplanes, by the way. They're $160,000, $180,000 for a lot of them. But one thing good, they do have a parachute in the back of it.
What are you talking about? What size airplane is that?
About like a 150 or 172, Dave. And more like a 150, I'd say. It was two place, the one I went up in.
Thinking about taking lessons or something? Or that sounds kind of like the Beechcraft Skipper or the Cessna 150 that I started learning in.
Oh, I've been in the 150. But, Dave, I don't know how many years ago, the kids, right after we moved down here, got some kind of introductory offer where I could go down and take a test ride, and I really didn't want to waste the guy's time, but I think it was about $75, but that is a glass cockpit, beautiful airplane for a small aircraft.
That's like a stunt plane or a two-seater stunt plane?
I think the Sirius is one of the most popular private small planes now out there. C-I-R-I-U-S, I think is the way they spell it, Dave. It's a little white feller. It's rather odd-shaped. I'm kind of thinking it might be German, Dave, but don't quote me on that one.
Magazines like I once did. too many other irons in the fire for too many years, and don't have any interest in getting my feet off the ground. Not now. I did at one point in time, but that has passed.
But I did go up for the fun ride. I enjoyed that, just sightseeing. I've thought about going down and taking that ride in the biplane. It was $400, I'll say a year or two ago, and it depends on how long you take the ride for, but it'd almost be worth that to fly in a biplane. I don't know, that kind of resembles the the old recip that I flew in years ago in the service. Not really. It wasn't a biplane. Not that old. But it was a two-engine recip. But that would be a lot of fun with the open cockpit, I think.
Over 100 miles an hour on a motorcycle with no helmet on? I have. And, man, let me tell you, you got to hold your head sideways and look down a little bit to keep it from blowing your eyeballs out of your sockets.
I've been 100, but with a helmet. I never ever... rarely ever rode without a helmet. Even when I rode my scooter delivering papers on the paper route, I don't know what it was, but I had my brother's old leather jacket that he went down in a couple of times. And then I had a Bell half helmet. And it was a good helmet. It had the good rating on it. I can't think of the name of the rating now, but the same ones that the hot rod drivers use. And I used it once, and slid about 200 feet down a brick street.
I've laid one down one time, but not going fast or anything like that. Nothing that would be life-threatening, nothing that gave me asphalt rash or anything. Because I got to slow down fast enough, didn't have to do that. But I most of the time always rode with a helmet on. But every now and then I just go out around the block or something like that. And that Hayabusa, it doesn't take but about 3 or 4 seconds. You can be going over 100 miles an hour. And, you know, that's one problem I have with the motorcycles. I like to twist that throttle. So, but boy, on that thing, it gets going so fast that it'll squish tears out of your eyeballs in a heartbeat, right? If you don't have a helmet on. With a helmet on, it's no problem. But without a helmet on, it'll pull the water out of your eyes.
I have no doubt. That's an still amazing motorcycle. I've never seen one up close, I don't think. I know you have one, but I remember back in the day they had rev limiters on them, and the fast one was over 200, I think. I went down, I hit, they left a manhole cover off. It was a small manhole cover, but big enough that my front tire went in it. It said water on it, because I went back and looked at it, and somebody left it off or come out. Or done it on purpose, I don't know which. And I was full throttle on that old Cushman, and it was pushing it to run 60. But I'm glad I had the leather jacket and crash helmet on. I went around once, and there was gasoline leaking out of the tank. And finally, I just kicked the scooter off of me. But my elbow swelled up as big as my leg, I think. And it smarted, but the leather jacket and the crash helmet saved my butt.
W, I don't know if you remember, the little wheels reminded me. There was a ham radio operator that was a friend of my dad's that lived over there where Gene Creasy lives now. And he recommended to my dad when I was about 11 or 12 years old that I get a Boonie bike. They were bigger than a mini bike, but not the size of a full-size motorcycle. And they had the really big balloon tires on it that were real cushy, kind of like ATVs are these days. And he wanted my dad to get me one of those. And my dad consulted with another friend that rode motorcycles all the time, and he said just what happened to you would happen with the Boonie bike because the wheels were smaller in diameter. He said they can fall down in something and it'll go over the handlebars. And my dad said, well, we're not doing that. So he went out and got me a full-size Hudaka. And I've had a motorcycle ever since, my whole life long. That Hudaka, I rode that thing all over the woods. It was, we had a place called the Bowl over there in that neighborhood where Gene lives, right past the one of the corners of that neighborhood. And we'd spend all day Saturdays in the Bowl. It was a lot of fun, but no little tire motorcycles, just for that very reason.
Yeah, I had one blow on me out running about, 45, 50 miles an hour, and the rear end come around the side of me, Dave. How I kept that thing up, I don't know, but they were big balloon tires on that Cushman. But the guys in Colorado that hunted elk and deer and that, they used what they call a tote goat, and it's very similar to what you described. But, I used to race. I was in the AMA when I was too young, but one of my friends signed for me as my dad so I could race in the TT scramble tracks. And those Hodakas were in the Bull Tacos and that. But the Hodaka had a chrome tank, as I remember. It was 90. I had an 80cc Trailmaster Yamaha when I started out in motorcycles. But I souped it all up, and I had a ball on it. We'd ride what we called the bicycle dumps all the time, and they were the old strip mine dumps. And, oh, man, If our parents would know some of the things we'd done, they'd have killed us. And we're lucky we didn't kill ourselves. This is Enzo T. Oh, I'm about 3 blocks from Amy's house, Dave.
That does remind me of good day, you know, good days, though. There was a mini bike one time that I rode on. I wasn't supposed to be on. And tried to do a hill the same way I did with the motorcycle, and that didn't work. The mini bike, it wasn't balanced. When it came down front first. I don't know what the deal was with that, but the motorcycle was balanced. It would come down back wheel first, and mini bike came down front wheel first, and I did go over the handlebars and got tangled up with that thing. I went home looking like I wrestled with a mountain lion, but recovered. There's a lot of things we did back in those days that people don't do these days. That it's amazing we're still here.
I remember going sideways, indoor in, if you want to call it, down one of those dumps one time, and it was not a lot of joy. See you later, Dave. We're here at Amy's. You got to unload some stuff from the Sam's Club. W4DJW and 0GR clear.
Have a good day, Tom. And Bernice, too, if you're listening, W4DJW Mobile.
4DJW, KJ4HYC.
W4DJW, good afternoon.
Good afternoon there. Hope you're doing good. I just hearing you and y'all was talking about them motorcycles there. Have you ever been to Gap Hill to ride the Dragon Tail?
At what field was that? Say that again. There's a little white noise on your signal.
North Carolina to ride the Dragon Tail.
Might be more than one, but I've ridden the Dragon Tail up to Caesar's Head and broken off parts, leaning so far on the motorcycle, broken off pegs. Leaning into those curves, going hard and fast. A lot of people going through that Dragon Tail don't come out the other side.
It's up there in North Carolina, up there, they got parts of motorcycles hanging up in trees and all that up there. It's like 199 curves within, 13 miles or something like that. I rode my bike up through there, and that's a scary thing to see all them parts.
Ago, when I worked at Michelin, there was a group of guys that did that, and I went up there with them a couple of times, and I told them they rode a lot more than I did. They rode a lot harder than I did. And I told him, I'm not going to try to keep up with you. I'm not going to do it because I'm not going off the side of this mountain. And they said, that's fine. You catch up with us when you can. And I'd keep up with them about halfway up the mountain, and then I'd just let them go. Because I'd be breaking parts. I'd be breaking foot pegs and everything. They're sending sparks out the side. And, you know, it'd get really, really scary. To where I start to tremble, and then I start backing off, because you could see, like at nighttime, you could see the headlight quivering back and forth. I'd have to loosen my grip on the handlebars to keep the headlight from shaking on the bike. It's scary.
I ride my bike up there to Caesar's Head State Park and everything, and it's scary just going slow. I seen a guy riding a bicycle. I seen him in my mirror. Next thing I know, he's already down at the bottom of the mountain.
And where I worked, last place that I worked, he was a database administrator who did that kind of bicycle riding. And he went off, he shot across the road. Couldn't stay on the road. He was going so fast. Shot across the road and hit a tree and died right there on the mountain. So bicycles are just as dangerous as motorcycles when it comes to going up or down a mountain.
I took mine. I was, you know how they put that tar and gravel down? And I went around this curve and they didn't have no sign up. I laid mine down and got my foot caught between the peg and the motor, and I broke my clutch lever, my brake lever, bruised my foot, or bruised the bone, and that hurts.
How stuff like how fast that can happen too. I had a dog one time run out underneath of me. He was coming out. I saw him coming, and I thought I could beat him. And he was going for my front tire, and he hit the middle of the bike where the back brake came across the right side of the bike where the back brake is. And he hit that back brake pedal. It got hung on it, and the back tire hit him and knocked me up in the air. When the bike came back down, you know, I was looking at the pavement. I was looking over the top of the bike down at the pavement over the front tire, because he went under the back tire, which hiked the back tire up in there. When that back tire came back down, that back brake pedal was bent 180 degrees backwards underneath itself, and the dog was nowhere to be found. He took off running. Never did see that dog again, but I had to take that brake pedal off and heat it up and hammer it out to get it to bend back around to the front so I would have a back brake again.
I don't guess that dog ever chased no more motorcycles. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you'd think that metal would be a little bit stronger, but you're going that fast and something hit it, it's going to bend.
That malleable, that it wouldn't just break off. It didn't. It bent all the way around. And I was able to heat it up and hammer it all the way back out. So, well, that's a good thing, too, that it's that malleable so that you don't you don't lose it like nowadays, the cast iron stuff. If it's cast, it just snap right off and break and be gone. And you'd have to go buy a new one. But back then, this was quite a while back. I remember back in the 80s, I think it was. But back then, they made them malleable enough to do that. That was pretty cool. But I hate it for the dog. I don't think it killed it because the dog ran off. I never did see him again. I don't even know what kind of dog it was, but it happened so fast I caught him out of the corner of my eye. I knew what was happening when it happened. But it's too late to do anything about it. It's like, there it is, and now it's over.
It's so fast that ain't nothing you can do about it. Yeah, well, nowadays I believe it's called balloon. Yeah, they don't make nothing out of good metal nowadays.
Faster. Well, I got an incoming message here I got to answer, so. And then I got to pick up my dog. I'm almost at the groomer's place, so I'm going to have to bow out for a little while, but I'll be back in a few minutes. W4DJW.
Again, we'll chat with you on down the log here. W4DJW, 84858, clear.